Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer, and this is Legal Nurse Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about some of the challenges that you go through as a business owner and a legal nurse consultant, the things that affect our attitude, change that happens in our businesses, and how we can cope with those changes. You've heard the expression that no one likes change except for a wet baby. And I think that that's probably a more negative perspective than we need to have in terms of how we react as business owners, because there are many, many positive changes that occur in our lives. Today I have with me Joy Marsden, who is speaking with us from England. She is the self-success speaker. Her clients see her as an influential change advocate. She works with C-suite managers and their teams using her uniquely designed Keep Stepping principles, which focus on key areas that can be mastered when going through challenge and change. Joy has over 20 years of business experience working in the corporate world with business tycoons, including the Mars Group, Next, and Avon Cosmetics. At one stage, Joy Marsden was managing a team of over 400 sales representatives, so she knows a thing or two about leading yourself through challenges to get results. Joy and I met at a book signing event in New York City when I was there as a ghostwriter with my friend Greg Williams, and our book came out on body language secrets, and Joy's book was there. And she very kindly signed a book for me, and as we were discussing her areas of expertise, I thought it would be great to bring her to my audience so that we could talk a little bit about leadership, self-success, self-management, those factors that have a profound influence on our ability to do our jobs as legal nurse consultants. Welcome to the show, Joy.
Thank you very much, Pat. I'm delighted to be here with you. It's a real pleasure coming onto your show today.
Well, thank you, Joy. In your book, you discussed self-management and self-leadership and self-mastery. How are each of those terms different, and why are they important for entrepreneurs?
Thank you. I'm really glad you asked that, Pat, because they are three different areas that are vitally important for us to be able to manage ourselves in any situation, despite whether we're going through a tremendous amount of change or not. I look at the three areas as different levels of self-awareness. So the self-management, in the book I talk about tuning into situations that you can, so you can understand them more clearly, and engaging with each other so that you can really kind of pick up where people are and engage with them effectively to get the best possible results. And it's a really kind of introductory level to your self-awareness. The self-leadership leads on to a different level where you look at the way you can stretch yourself, you look at the way that you use your skills, you look at the way that you respond to the way other people react to you. And then that leads into self-mastery, which is really the height of the self-awareness. But actually, at that stage, we're looking at even softer skills and the way we serve each other, the way people react to us when we serve, how thankful we are in situations, our gratitude levels, and, you know, do our desires really match what we want people to recognize us for. So three areas are really, really key for you to be able to face any kind of situation and do it well and come out really feeling fulfilled and purposeful.
And I know that fulfillment and being able to master your purpose is a key aspect of being able to effectively handle a business. The legal nurse consultants who listen to this show are either employees working in law firms or insurance companies, or self-employed and working directly with attorneys who are either plaintiff attorneys or defense attorneys. They can be put in situations where they question their potential. They might, for example, be asked to take on a new kind of difficult case, or the legal nurse consultant could be asked to serve as an expert witness and provide testimony in court. And they may question, am I good enough? Am I up to the challenge that's being given to me? What can you share with us about some steps to work towards achieving our full potential?
Well, potential is born in every single one of us, but few of us absolutely really reach the full potential that is put within us at the start of our careers. We know what we want, and sometimes we don't, but we push it as far as we can, and then we settle. And potential, I've written in the book about that particular area because that's the only way that you can really stretch and push the boundaries. When you push those boundaries, you can start to build something in you, new skills that will take you to the next level. But in order to push those boundaries, we need to take action. So my book is called Keep Stepping, and the steps that we take define the people we become. And they also define the work that we do as well. So it's important that we continue to take steps and push the boundaries so that we can start to see some of the skills that we have residing within us that we wouldn't otherwise have seen. So it's a way of seeing opportunities, really.
You and I have both seen people who get literally uncomfortable when they push beyond their boundaries, or they are being pushed by some force to take on new responsibilities or to do uncomfortable things. What should we do when we experience that intense discomfort?
It's you know, this is a place where I work with people at every level, and I work quite a bit in healthcare, so I have some experience of working with people who are working with people first on, but also have challenges that come from different sort of angles. And you know, when you're being stretched, it's really important to rise up to it. What the stretch will do for you is this: it will help you to develop more competence in the area that you currently work. It will sharpen your skill if you lean towards it and don't lean away from it. And you know, our confidence is increased if we're willing to really stretch those boundaries. And it isn't a comfortable place, but that place of stretch is where growth really happens. So it's important that we take steps through it to get to the next level and to get to the next place.
I can remember a time in my life when I was very concerned about a family relative who I thought had some mental illness, and I remember sitting in front of that phone with the phone number in front of me for the hotline for the mental health organization that was local in my area.
Yes.
And I remember staring at that phone thinking, when I reach out and touch that phone, it's going to change my life. And I had to force myself to do it. It was probably one of the most difficult phone calls that I made, to stretch and to acknowledge that there was a problem that I needed help with. But
yes,
it got my husband and I into a course that gave us coping skills and strategies and information to be able to handle this relative, to make a real positive change in our relationship.
Yes. Yes, and it's through situations. Often, if we can turn our disasters into direction, then that will really serve us going forward. But you and I both know, Pat, that we have to experience those difficult times to know how to address those times going forward. Because challenges will come. It's just part of life. And the more we've experienced it and the more we've been able to kind of step through it and step up to the change, then, you know, it really does give us some skills that we can use later on in our lives.
I know. I think we would both prefer that our lives would be on this nice steady plateau or going up towards positive things, but it's often what you learn in the troughs on the other side of the mountain.
It is.
That tests you and changes you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Before I continue, I want to share a resource with you as I've been talking with you about self-improvement. Boost Your Business Skills is online training by Kathy Aston. Her program has a lot to do with boosting self-confidence so that you can tackle the barriers that are holding you back. Are you working hard but not getting anywhere and finding your revenues are not adequate to support financial needs? Do you feel overwhelmed, anxious, or stressed and confused about what to do next? Are you unsure of how to differentiate yourself from your competition? Do you struggle to take action and overcome procrastination? Do you need to stop what's stopping you and take back control of your business? Do you want to know how to get clear on your services, your positioning, and your business approach for more sales and greater customer satisfaction? Do you want to boost your business skills? Do you want to increase your confidence by reducing feelings of intimidation? You can never be successful if you're stuck in fear, chaos, or self-sabotage. Get the revenues you need now to boost your business skills and infuse your business and go to the next level. This training is a one-hour video program that is available at this link, http://lnc.tips/boost. And if you use the code LISTENED, you'll get a 25% discount off the training. Let me return to the program.
And one of the activities that stretches Legal Nurse Consultants is the act of engaging in networking and meeting people. Mm-hmm. I had a previous guest on our podcast who is a self-professed introvert, and I am as well, and we both talked about how difficult it is when you are an introvert and shy to go into a social setting and actively network and connect and talk to people. I know that there are extroverts who are listening who don't struggle with that and might not even be able to identify with that feeling. Mm-hmm. What are some of the tips, both for introverts and extroverts, about handling networking opportunities and meeting people? Because those do stretch, whether it's the introvert or the extrovert. Mm-hmm. And can pose difficulties for the person going through that situation?
Yeah, that's another great question, because I myself, I'm not really a keen networker. I do it because it's good for my business. So again, you know, it's another step out moment, really, for those of us who really don't like it. But over the years, I've observed the way that in general, people approach networking, and often people are in the room for what they can get and for what they can, how they can tell people about what they want. And I thought, well, do you know what? What if I shift that? And I don't talk at people, but I seek to really listen. And, you know, I started to get better results from my networking. And what I was really doing was I think, just beginning to build a better relationship than I would have done otherwise. So I would say, don't talk at people. Be prepared to listen to them. And I'd also say, don't aim to impress people. but focus more on engaging with them rather than trying to impress them. And another thing that I really don't like is the introduction with the great grand title that people want to give you. Before you give me the grand title, let me know about you. You know, show yourself to me so that I can engage with you before I even hear about the massive title that you have after your name. So I think if we approach the networking as we really are, we don't need to put on any airs and graces. We don't really need to impress. People want to really connect with you, the person. And it's you, the person, that they'll remember, not your grand title. They'll remember how you engaged with them. They'll remember how you treated them. So those are the tips I'd give for that, Pat.
And isn't there the perception that if you show interest and you ask the other person questions about themselves, that they perceive you as being a wonderful conversationalist?
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you stand out from the crowd, because many people just don't do that. So it's kind of easier to stand out by not doing what everybody else is doing.
I think that another thing that stretches Legal Nurse Consultants is asking for referrals at such networking events. Mm-hmm. They are there primarily to find attorneys who are in a position to hire them.
Yes.
So the people in the networking event may know attorneys, but are standing looking at a Legal Nurse Consultant trying to figure out, do I know this person? Do I like this person? Do I trust this person?
Absolutely.
Should I connect her with the attorneys that I know?
Yes.
Can you give any tips related to how you handle those kinds of requests for referrals?
Well, I think, you know, when I'm asking for referrals, I have to say, for myself, I would want to build a relationship further than the room that I'm in at the time. So I very rarely ask for referrals at that moment when I'm engaging with people. So I think it's absolutely too quick. But what I mm-hmm. absolutely do is I would, once I connected with somebody, I would go home and I would drop them a quick email saying, you know, it's been really, really good to connect with you. Sometimes I've even arranged at the moment of meeting them to have a coffee later on, so I can bring that up in the email when I speak to them. But if not, I then want to have a conversation, a phone call, where it's just me and them. And then we talk about how we can mutually help each other. At that stage, I might be talking about asking for a referral. But not until I find out how I can serve them in some way as well. So it's mutual benefit for both of us.
I think that's a really important point, Joy, because it's easy to get caught up in the mindset of, well, who do you know and who can you refer me to, instead of, who do you want to know? Who can I connect you with? What
yes.
can I do to assist you? And
yes.
making that offer first is crucial.
Yes, and really, that is, the more I do for you, the more you want to do for me. And that really is the way that, you know, what you sow, you really do reap. And the idea of wanting referrals without, by just handing a business card over or introducing yourself and giving a name and a title and perhaps a little background about what you do is really quite, it's not normal. That's not generally how people react to each other. So I would say, you know, be prepared to build the relationship. Be prepared to do more than just meeting people in the room.
I'd like to switch the subject and talk about optimism. I think it's one of the key ingredients to being successful in a business. And I have talked to lots of people who are not optimistic about their businesses, who have gone through some training and then found it tougher to locate clients than they expected. And they are really filled with pessimism and have given up or are just sometimes in despair.
Yes.
They've spent a lot of money, they've announced that they want this business, and then they find it tough.
Yes.
Talk to us about being an entrepreneur and optimism and why they are so interrelated.
Well, yes, they very much are interrelated. And you know, if you are going to, as an entrepreneur, it's always good to be looking for the next thing, the next connection, the way ahead, where you want to be. And really what I'm talking about is having an element of hope in your life, which ties into optimism. And you've really got to expect the best for yourself and for the people that you're working with, even for the people that you live with. You've got to expect the best, and to do that, optimism is going to be really, really key. Now, optimism is something I believe you need to succeed. I mean, there are some people who are who are sort of pessimistic, and they do, you know, they do live in that realm, and that's fine. But Pat, can I ask you, do you want to be around them very much?
I try to keep negative people out of my life.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're not really going to attract the type of people that you want in your life with that kind of approach. So I would say, you know, it is important that we somehow find a way to train our mind to think more positively, to train our mind to be more hopeful. And the only way I've found I can do that is, you know, I meditate every day, and I dwell on things that are going to do me good. In other words, things that bring life into me. And I absolutely expect good things to happen throughout the day. And I train my mind to do so. So I can choose to think, well, nothing's going to happen today. I'm going to go into this networking meeting and, you know, I'm not going to make any connections. Then why would I bother going if that's what I hope for? I need to be expecting more than that. So I'd say it is a mindset, and it's a mindset that is enterprising. It's a mindset that is open to change and open to the opportunities that might come your way. And I would say it was a closed mind that operates in pessimism. So, you know, it's part of opening your mind, and it's part of being successful, and it's part of being able to recover from the setbacks that possibly come your way. You know, if a pessimist has a setback and they've expected it, they tend to kind of get lower and lower and lower. But, you know, an optimist can see that and take it and think, right, okay, this is where I am now. Where do I want to be? So you really have to have an element of hope in your life.
Yeah, and I think you're stressing something that happens naturally in any business. There are great highs, there are things that go very well, and then there are negative experiences that you have to be able to bounce back from.
Yes.
You know, for example, when you testify as an expert witness, you are deposed, and then you go to trial if the case doesn't settle. And you could testify very well in 10, 15, 20 trials, and then you have an experience that makes you just want to sink through the floor and disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have to be able to get up at the end of that period and walk out of the courtroom and know that it is a quirk, it's an aberrancy, it's something that you need to learn from. If there was something that you did that was connected with not feeling good about leaving that courtroom, mm-hmm. and to be optimistic enough to realize the next experience doesn't have to be that same way. The next
yes.
experience can be wonderful.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And I think you're talking about that resilience to be able to bounce back, if I understand
yes.
what you're saying.
Absolutely. And you know, the ability to be able to bounce back is very much tied in with the way that you see the world. And
mm-hmm.
optimists have a much better chance of being able to pull themselves out of that than a pessimist does.
Mm-hmm. The last question I wanted to ask you is about experiencing big changes in our lives. In our world, there could be a key customer who could stop giving work to a legal nurse consultant, for example, or a key attorney in a law firm who decides to retire or is no longer in practice for another reason, and that can change the legal nurse consultant's world in significant ways. There can be changes in the law that make a certain type of case no longer profitable to pursue, and that nurse was counting on those types of cases to keep her business going. What about change and an opportunity to look at our attitude? How can we look at those big changes and learn from them and focus in on what we need to do in our heads to deal with those things?
Well, I think, you know, I find it interesting that there are some people who go through really difficult situations, and they're able to kind of just bounce back, and then others go through it and they're stuck. They're absolutely stuck. And it is the thing that stands underneath that, the foundation, is your attitude. And I connect attitude very much in my work to our level of happiness. And I honestly don't believe our level of happiness can be centered on the circumstances that we go through. They just cannot, because circumstances will hit. And if that's what determines how okay you feel and whether you can go on with life very well, then, you know, you're going to sink, and sink very, very fast. So, you know, you do need to have a separation between how you feel and the circumstances that come your way, and your attitude to that will determine whether you come out of it well or whether you just sink. So the real power in having a good attitude is understanding that whatever you're going through now, and I think you may have mentioned this a bit earlier, Pat, whatever you're going through now is not the end. You know, that it will change and it will come to pass, and things can be different if you'll just keep stepping through, and you'll step up to what needs to happen, and you're prepared to do what it takes to get to the next level. So in guarding your attitude, I think, should always be, this circumstance has happened, but this isn't necessarily who I am. Tomorrow is a different, and it's a different day, it's another day, and things can be different. And it's important to have that kind of thinking when you're going through, particularly when you're going through difficult times. And I know most people, when they work, experience, you know, the same routines, they experience doing the same things over and over again, because that's part of their work, that's what they need to do. You go through the same procedures, and sometimes things can just feel like they're the same, and people can feel stuck. But, you know, if we can see change as an opportunity, and that change can just be approaching it differently, and it could be approaching it differently mentally and having a different mindset to the circumstance that you're in. So it's not always a big change, let me leave this job and go somewhere else. It sometimes is a shift in the way we think about where we are right now. So I'm a firm believer that you can't really have joy wherever you are. And I know it's a pun because it's my name, believe you can have joy in any situation that you are. No matter how difficult it is, you can have something that you can be thinking of that is better than where you are now, that will help pull you out and tune your attitude into the right place, that will get you to the next step.
My son has a business called Ever New Joy. And the one thing that he tells me every time I stop talking to him or leaving him at his house, he'll say, have fun.
Brilliant. I love that. I love that. And that's, isn't that a wonderful thing to hear when you leave?
It's a wonderful thing to hear. Mm-hmm.
And yes, and words, you know, the words that we speak to ourselves just are so, so important. And I when I work with my audience, I just say, you know, who is the first person to hear what comes out of your mouth? And it's you. It's you. So whatever you say, whatever you speak out, You know, whatever it is you're going to read, just make sure it's uplifting. Make sure it, you know, make sure it's good for you. Make sure it gives you life, so that you can take your steps, you know, with a lightness and with that joy that your son talks about.
Mm-hmm. How can our listeners learn more about you, Joy?
Oh, they can visit my website. It's www.joymarsden, that's joymarsden.com, to find out more about me and the work that I do. And if they'd like to take a look at the book, they can get that on amazon.com or amazon.co.uk in various forms. So yeah, that's how they can get hold of me.
And would you give us the name of the book again, one more time?
The book is called Keep Stepping, Essential Ways to Lead Yourself and Others Through Challenge and Change.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Joy. We will
thank
be back next
much.
Week. Yes, thank you. And we will be back next week with a new guest. Please leave your comments on iTunes. And thank you so much for spending time with me today, Joy.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being a part of this program. Check out our online training and books at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Expand your LNC skills with our resources. Also, explore coaching with me at LNCAcademy.com to get more clients, make more money, and avoid expensive mistakes. And finally, join our continuing education program and get monthly trainings at LNCCEU.com. You'll get 2 online trainings each month designed to deepen your knowledge and skills. And look forward to having you tune into our programs again next week. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.